Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel feeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
And off we go. Another show of The Suspendables with me and my good friend, Rusty Cortinel. Suspendables, well, there it is. We haven't heard that in a long time.
Well, I'm cheating today. I'm actually got Perrier going.
Oh, ooh, little hung or something? What's the problem?
No, it's just it's 1 o'clock. I don't want to start drinking on Monday at 1 o'clock.
Yo, yeah, God, you've never done that before. anyway, got a great show coming up this week, as we have every other week. We're well over 100 shows, it's going great. I got a couple funny things.
Keep saying that, Anthony Robbins. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. However, Rusty, we got to give a shout out. We brought on our new digital marketing team. We brought on Eddie Ackle from Elite Digital Marketing, who we've decided to engage to help us increase listenership. And so we brought him on for a few minutes. You and I both didn't understand what he was saying, but he's helps online businesses, right? And our show really, I guess, would be an online business. We look at the numbers. I think you sent it to me, Rusty.
Yeah.
We've been averaging a certain thing, and it jumped up, Rusty, by about 20%.
I know. Unbelievable. So your job is safe for now, big fella.
I'm safe. Anyway.
Bill's not going to fire you yet.
Yeah. So we feel confident in saying, if you need some help with your online business, let me know, and we'll hook you up with Eddie and Elite Digital Marketing.
Jesus.
We're going to send you a clip of me and Steve talking about you. Okay.
Thanks.
I do a daily show with Steve Warren back in Ottawa. And we have a ride doing. We've done over 600 shows. And
humble brag.
So I will often not text you about what's on the show because I get more than pushback. Okay. I get F off, Jimmy, beat it and leave me alone. We'll see you. Okay. And so I was saying to Steve, here's Rusty's text to us all the time. Okay. So I might say, for example, today I sent you something saying, Rusty, if you were to interview someone, okay, because we do an interview, this show's about you, and I interview you every week, and we have fun. Mm-hmm. I said, who would you pick, Rusty? This is an example of how you respond to all the texts that Steve and I send you. Who would you pick, okay? I want to give you a heads up, Rusty, a little food for thought, what's on the show, okay? Who would you pick to interview? We get a picture of you back on your patio carving into a steak, drinking a bottle of Chardonnay, smoking a Cohiba, okay? Okay. By the way, Rusty, it's going to be 30 below here. You know, what's the worst weather experience you have? Well, that'll be you getting a massage or something, okay, in your back patio. Oh, okay, Rusty, sorry. But how would you build a hockey team, Russ? You know, how would you, giving you a little more stuff for the show, it's about hockey. Where would you start, Rusty? We'll just get you teeing off with a couple of celebrities on the first hole at Sherwood, okay? Laughing or tailgating party. It's just hilarious, man. Anyway, how was the week, Rusty? Tough loss for the Vikings, your future
son. Oh, my God.
What a heartbreaking loss.
Terrible.
Yeah, for them.
Allie could have kicked that freaking field goal.
Yeah, right. Although I do have to say, Russ, I bet on them and they covered.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I bet
on them. Yeah, because they weren't favored, were they?
They were not. Okay. Right. Stevie, you like the action a little bit. Stevie is on to something. In the first 2-3 weeks of the NFL, Rusty, take the points. Mm-hmm. He's kind of tracked it over the years. For example, a week ago, 12 out of the 16 games were won by guys who were the underdogs. So
really? Just because they might not have won the game, but the bet covered?
That's right. Yeah. Steve's thing is you just don't know.
Because I'm somewhat of a rookie at this. But.
Yeah. Well, take the first 20 games in the NHL. Who's going to bet the farm on a team, right?
Yeah,
they're just not organized. So anyway, I won both bets yesterday.
Things are looking up. Look at you. You're wearing a collared shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting out there.
Exactly.
The luck might be changing.
I threw the call.
Maybe you'll meet a postman or a firewoman. Stay away from the cops.
I got the collared shirt on because we do video now.
You're looking good.
Yeah, we have the coaching, but you don't want to see what I'm wearing from the waist down.
Okay? Yeah, no.
You ever seen news people? They got the beautiful shirt and tie, and then they pan back to them. They're wearing freaking pajamas and slippers and stuff. Anyway, on the show today, Rusty, you got lots to talk about. I got a new air fryer, by the way, Rusty.
Nice.
You have an air fryer?
Yeah, we do.
It's the best.
Yeah, we do.
It's the best.
Lawton was using it the other day to make chicken wings and fries. It's the best. Pretty good.
It's absolutely the best.
Yeah. It's good.
Like me, everyone said, no, it's healthy, right? Because the grease drains down. And I'm going, okay, well, then I'll just fry up a bunch of French fries. On the show today, Norm MacDonald, one of the great Canadian comedians, unfortunately passed away at 61. Mm-hmm. The reason I bring it up is he is, I get asked a lot, like many people do, who's your favorite comic? You know, what's your favorite sitcom and all that stuff? And I'm a big Bill Burr guy. I'm a big Sebastian Maniscalco. These names may mean nothing to you, Rusty, but my all-time favorite, without a word of a lie, was Norm MacDonald, a Canadian guy, very successful. Acerbic wit, like just this, he's like you, Rusty, cutting wit, very funny. And I did a teaser this week that I would give you a few of his best lines, that Norm MacDonald had. do yourself a favor and go online, YouTube, because there are endless amount of home runs, Rusty, that this guy hits in about
so dry
5 seconds. Five seconds.
He's so good.
And when he does tell a joke, his greatest joke that he ever told, and on the Tonight Show, was a moth walked into a doctor's office, right? And he goes on, Rusty, for like 5 minutes about the moth's life and all this stuff. And you're going, oh, my God. You know, so there's so many in the doctor's
office. Who was the host when he was telling the joke?
It was Conan, I think. Conan O'Brien. And he just let him go. It was just hilarious. Search it up, folks, on YouTube. And then he finally gets to give the punchline that, and the doctor says, God, there's so many issues, you know. What brought you in here today? What was it? And he says, well, the light was on. Like he totally took the whole show hostage, Russ. The Tonight Show, millions of viewers, Conan's rocking his seat. He's just, you know, Seth Meyers, who worked with him on Saturday Night Live. Norm showed up on the set and with his kid, you know, he had a son. And no one had ever met the kid, you know. I don't know. He was, you know, walking around the set, and Seth Meyers comes up to him and says, "I got to ask you, how is it being a new dad?" And Norm looked at him and said, "Well, no abductions yet, you know." Just like had these just like crazy lines, man. He had, you know, he was.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh yeah, I met him in the lobby of a hotel in London, Ontario. I was doing a gig, and he was there doing a gig, and. He was my favorite, right? And I went like a freaking goof, okay? I went running at him going, hey, Norm, I'm a huge fan. You know, I'm a huge fan. And he looked at me like sort of this wry smile and went, well, you're only human, kid. And then I launched in Rusty's. Well, no, the first time I saw him, he cut me off, put his hand on my shoulder and said, hey, listen, I'm busy. Beat it, right? It was just his. He had a million of them. I loved him. The other, you know, he talked about his girlfriend, you know, in this, I try and imitate Norm the way.
He a hockey fan?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Cause we know Mike Myers is just a huge fan. Leaf fan. Yeah.
I don't know if he is or not. Anyway, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Or it died of cancer too.
Yeah. And he kept it quiet. Nobody knew. Yeah. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Dave Semenko. Unbelievable guy. Great guy. Of course, you know, the storied career he had with the Oilers as a tough guy and defender of the great one and all that stuff. And he died a few years ago. I was in Malaysia actually when he died, but he never told anyone.
Yeah.
No one knew about it. He hardly ever went to the doctor. Gretz was telling me never did. Was, you know, not just tough on the ice, you know. And anyway, go search up Norm MacDonald, and you're going to have a laugh. You're going to see how funny that guy was. Lots of stuff, Rusty. I'm working on a few guests. Okay. Speaking of funny.
I saw that. I saw that.
I've had an exchange.
Let me know when you need me to step in and get him on the show.
Really, Russ? Okay, really. You know what? You've brought no guests. No, you brought a few guests. So I have reached out, and all of them, by the way, have said they're going to, this might be the longest tease in the world because it's tough to, it's like herding cats, man, to get guests on. And, but all of them, these four guys have said yes, including Chris Chelios, Brett Hull, Mess, we're finally going to get on. I talked to him a couple days ago, and Paul Coffey said he'll come on, but he'll forget. You know, Coff will just
Coff will come on.
Chris Chelios, I don't know if you have any stories, but two of my favorite stories, Chris Chelios. I met him through you, Rusty. You know, at that fantasy camp. Great guy. Great guy. Very dry. Very dry. Very sarcastic. And one of my bad experiences with him at that camp is I said, hey, will you come do an interview? Because I was doing my own podcast back then.
Yeah.
And he said, sure. Yeah, sure. And I said, can I take a picture of you and throw it up on my social media to tease people that you're going to come on? And he said, absolutely not. No. Okay. He said, don't do it because I'm supposed to be working. He was working for the Red Wings at the time.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm playing hooky, right? I'm down here at the fantasy camp having a laugh, but they think I'm out scouting a team or something, right? So I said, no problem. Anyway, we went and played golf at Shadow Creek, and he was in my group, okay? And I completely forgot about it, took a picture of him, and and it ended up on social media, and he said to me, okay, I'm gonna murder you.
Yeah.
I was pretty clear there, idiot, right?
Yeah.
So he said, I'll never talk to you again. Never talk to you again. And then I said, and he kind of chuckled. And then that night, we were in the big nightclub at the Bellagio. I forget which one it is that everyone...
Hyde.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, you know, like celebrities can party. I used to be able to party, but here's a typical celebrity party was they roped off an area, okay, for all you guys. So it's roped off. There's tons of action going on. And DJ was there, and Paulina, and you, and Chelios was there too. And me and my ex, okay, were in this little corral too. And, you know, the cool thing there, the new way to party is... Just bring us bottles of liquor. Okay. Yeah. No one orders drinks, right? They just have a bottle. And of course I don't drink, right? And Chelly was sitting there and he was being polite and pouring drinks for him and then looked at me, you know, and said, Jimmy? I said, no, Chelly, I don't drink, right? I haven't for 10 years. I'm alcoholic. And he went, oh. And he waved the bottle in front of me with the spout underneath my nose. He goes, oh, do you have issues? Was there a problem? Do you have? It was just like killer shit, man. Killer shit. So, anyway, we're gonna.
You know why they have those roped off areas?
No.
So assholes don't come up to Norm MacDonald and start repeating all their lines and touching them and telling them how great they are and fucking obnoxious people like that.
Yeah.
So it's called the Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. Exactly. You're funny, man. That is so funny. I don't know where to start with you today. There's so much pressure, Russ, to come up with topics. Okay, I always come up with the topics, yeah, because I know I'm going to get a beat in the head by you. Let's start with Zdeno Chara, for example, is going to enter his.
You know, I played against him. He's probably the only player left in the league. No, maybe Thornton too.
24 years, Russ. He just signed with the Islanders.
Yeah, unreal. Huh? I mean, it's unreal that he and a big man too.
Oh, so big. Yeah.
Like, it's just incredible. He's still going and he looks good out there. You know, he's not the player he was, but good for him.
Right. The question is why, right? He's got lots of dough. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, and Tom Brady and these guys who are still playing and people are starting to look up going, this is getting amazing. This Tom Brady story is getting amazing. Zdeno, you wonder, you know, Steve was telling me probably, you know, playing for minimum wage. But why does he do it? And I wonder, Rusty, you've talked about retirement, that you don't get to retire. You get retired. Okay.
Most guys. Yeah.
And I wonder if Zdeno and these other guys who are hanging on, look at it, Russ, and go, I got nothing else I want to do other than play. And what the hell am I going to do when I stop playing? You had to look at that, Russ. At some point, you were logical, and other shows you've talked about it, that you knew your career was winding down. Was there any fear, Russ? Like when you started looking and say, okay, my career's, I'm going to have an exit plan here. Talk about that, Rusty. Because I want to know if you were saying, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to do, man, when I retire.
No, there was no fear on my part. It was just inevitable that it was going to happen eventually. You just don't know. And Marcus Naslund's probably one of the best stories I have. Marcus was getting tired, drained, and was talking about retirement and all this. And then they had the lockout. Mm-hmm. He spent 8 months in Sweden. And he came back and he was refreshed. He goes, that's exactly what I needed. I needed a break. I needed to know what reality was going to be like. And I so love the game. And what happens to a lot of guys is they just get tired, and they get tired of the routine, and they're sore, and their career, you know, their talent level starts to lessen, and they're not the player they once were. And a lot of factors come into play for different reasons for different players. But when Zdeno, obviously, like you said, has more money than he knows what to do with, it's not the money. He's playing because he loves the game and loves the competition and knows that when it's over, it's over. Mm-hmm. You know, and Mark Messier played a long time. And I remember Mark saying, I said to him once when we were quite young, I said, because he was just, you know, he was a physical specimen. I said, Mess, you could play till you're 50. He goes, why not? Like, just like that. Mm-hmm. Why not? All right. I said, you could play as long as Hal. And his response was, why not? And so for some guys, they realize what's that coming after, and they just want to continue to play. Mike Keane played an extra, I think, 7 or 8 years in the minors.
Really?
In Winnipeg, yeah. Or you could look it up. Like he was finished in the NHL, and he kept playing in the minors for years. And Mike Keane was another guy who was super fit, great player for, you know, what he did. He wasn't an offensive guy, mm-hmm. but he was a really, really good player, won 3 cups with 3 different teams. And so there's guys like that, you know, examples of players that play a long time.
Chelios.
And yeah. Chelly, yep. Played a long time, and at the end I felt bad for Chelly because he really slowed down,
right,
and he was such a great player, and you know, Zdeno's playing a different game than he was then and was before, and so he looks good out there if you look at him, what his role is now, not comparing him to years ago. But Chelly, I just felt like I loved playing with Chelly. I love playing against Chelly. I love watching Chelly. Everybody was, you know, most people were a fan of him other than Boston Garden. They couldn't stand him.
Right.
But anyways, those four are good examples of guys that absolutely loved the game and played as long as they could.
Yeah. So for you though, Russ, when you said, okay, I can't play hockey anymore, was there any thought you would go to the minors like Keane did?
No, I got calls from Europe, and I'll never forget. I was on the second tee box at Sherwood, and it was in November, mm-hmm. and I hadn't signed with anyone yet. So it's 1999,
right?
And I started getting calls from Europe, and so I'm on the second tee box with two guys from Canada who had moved to LA. Both were in the stocks. One was a promoter. One was a investment type guy. And they had just, one had come from Winnipeg, one had come from Vancouver. And we were hanging out quite a bit together. And I signed them into Sherwood.
Right.
And we're playing golf like 4 days a week, maybe. And it's a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah,
tell
yeah,
them,
yeah,
I just
yeah,
got
yeah,
an
yeah,
offer.
Yeah, we know about
So I just tell them on the second tee box, hey, I just got a call to go to Helsinki to play the rest of their season. What do you guys think? And they look around and they're like, why would you leave this?
Right. Right.
And so I've said on the show before that I regret not going over to Europe after I went and coached in the Spengler Cup and talked to a lot of the players, but I should have and could have gone over to Europe, but I wasn't prepared to start riding the buses and playing the minors.
So when you said, okay,
I was spoiled after 16 years of flying.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, no shit. So when you said, okay, I can't play anymore. did you have an idea of what you were going to do after?
Retire.
Right. After you retire. Yeah.
No, retire.
And so you were okay with that? Like you're just.
Yeah.
Like,
and I didn't work for 16 years.
Oh,
I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
Good God. How did retirement? What a pressure-packed post-career.
So I'm 34. I retire. Yeah. I stayed home and I coached my kids and watched my kids and did a lot of charity stuff.
Right.
My wife and I built a couple houses, a few houses, I guess. And then I started working when I was 50.
Yeah. Wow.
So
I love that story.
Yeah. As I tell my friend, Leonard Carson, he's always worried about me. He's my best friend since kindergarten. Right. They own car dealerships. And he's always like, What are you doing? You got to do something. You got to do something. I go, Len, nobody does retirement better than me. I loved it. I live in a beautiful climate and I got bored. And when I wasn't working for those 16 years, I would get bored in November a little bit.
Right.
And I don't know why. And the first few years I was retired, 2 weeks in August, I'd start getting twitchy, like I should be training or that took a while to get rid of that reflex of, oh God, you got to get in shape. You got to do this. You got to do that. And that usually lasted only about 2 weeks. In December, I'd wake up in a cold sweat and go, shit, I got to go to camp. And then I'm going, no, I don't. I do not have to go to camp.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Man. So cool.
Anyways, that's my life. My brother Jeff can't retire. The guy has to be going a million miles an hour and doing a million things. And he doesn't like golf because it's too slow and takes too long and he's not very good at it. But the thing he can do for relaxation is fish.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he's a guy that is so wound up and needs to do stuff. I'd say Paul Coffey's very similar to that, where Paul's wanting to build the companies and do different things. And
or still appealing to teams to play.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You brought up your brother, Jeff, which brings me to a story this week about the Tkachuk family. Brady Tkachuk, who plays in Ottawa, he's an RFA. His brother Matthew's in Calgary. I think Matthew held out a little bit. I think Keith, their dad, was a great player. He held out. So they're breathlessly waiting in Ottawa what they're going to do with Brady Tkachuk. Apparently they've offered him 8 years, $8 million a year. And everyone's saying, well, what's the news? What's happening? Are they getting close to a deal and all this stuff? And no one really knows.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a few days ago, over the last little while, Matthew jumps on Twitter and starts to talk about his brother's deal.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't know. Steve, are you there? Can you give us a little, like, what did he say?
Yeah, the gist of it was he was on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman, and his quote was, Brady might be pulling a classic Tkachuk right now. Dad held out, Matthew held out, and Brady looks like he's on his way right now. So hopefully it can get figured out. A lot of fake stuff out there, but they're not too close, so hopefully it gets figured out. My dad and I, though, are definitely involved. Brady needs us to help him out with that stuff. He wasn't as cutthroat as we were during it, but he's starting to become more of a Tkachuk the later this goes.
Right. So, thanks. So, you like me, Rusty, as soon as someone uses their own name in the third person,
yeah.
You know, as soon as I go, well, for Jim Jerome, right, you go like this. No, Jim. No, we're not doing that. That'd be the equivalent of you. You've been through some contract negotiations. You talked about with your Montreal deal and stuff and Serge Savard. And what would you think if you woke up in the morning and Jeff came to your side and said, they got to make a deal or say whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like the Tkachuk family. I like them. I like the stories. They're good. And then I immediately stopped liking them when I heard the story. What say you, my friend?
Well, they're a confident bunch, and I played against Keith, and man, what a great player and a tough son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, I think there's a difference between an American hockey player and a Canadian hockey player.
Really,
but I think that's kind of an example of what I would
Americans are blowhards.
No, I don't want to get. I just think there's a different level of humbleness. Is that a word?
Yep.
And
I don't know it, but I know that.
The Tkachuks are great. I mean, they're headliners, you know, and the kids have done really well, and they're getting advice from their dad. And I just imagine my dad, if I got offered, you know, whatever, he would say, take that deal. Mm-hmm. It's a good deal. I don't know. What is he going to hold out for? How much more?
Yeah.
Is he nine or 10? I don't know the market, but if he's worth $2 million more, then yeah, he should probably, if he's worth $10 million a year, then eight's probably not going to cut it. But if he's worth $8.5 million, I think that's kind of silly that he's, you know,
right,
holding out for an extra $500,000.
But
ask, what's the big rig? What's the big rig's name in Tampa? Just won another cup in
Maroon.
Yeah, so he got offered almost $5 million a year in Edmonton.
Yeah,
held, and his agent said he should turn it down. He did.
Pat Maroon. And oh my God!
I think he's made about $1.5 million a year since.
Yeah.
So you know,
with cups.
Yeah, with cups. I mean, and not that that's going to happen to a Tkachuk, but you do play the roulette a little bit.
Yeah, but you're not doing it in social media. That's my point. You know, I'm guessing you probably phone up Jeff.
That's a lot of freaking dough, man. I don't know what the market is, so I can't really, like, I just commented, if it's 10 million, if he's a $10 million player, yeah, he's got some room to negotiate. But if he's 8.2 or 8.4 or 8.5, I think it's ridiculous. But that's me.
Maybe we'll get him on. Maybe we'll try and get him on. See, so he can continue.
Well, since you don't like him, that wouldn't be very good.
Well, I don't like him now. Anyway, excuse my language. Cool.
Yeah, so I bet you he'll be jumping to get on the show. and Keith will freaking squash you like a grape.
Yeah, true.
His rookie year in Winnipeg, I mean, he's 18 or 19.
Right.
And he hit me, and oh my God, it hurt so much. Like, he's one of those guys, when he hit you, it hurt because he's so freaking strong.
Well,
he had a lot of room out there.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
Couple things, okay? Questions from our good listener. One of them was, what kind of stick did you use? I sent that.
Sherwood.
I sent that to you.
Yeah, I used Sherwood.
Okay. Composite stick? That's what someone was asking.
No, they started to come in at the end of my career.
Yeah, you're a little older than people think.
Yeah.
You probably had the Tackleberries. You're getting so old now. Remember the Tackleberries? Someone else wants to know, Russ, how do you go about building a hockey team?
So today?
Yeah, starting? I think so, yeah. Or compare it, like when you started in the league, or to what it is now.
It's so different, man, with everything, all the new rules and salary cap is tough. You get, you know, look at, you got to, you get good, you're paying everybody a shitload of money, and you better win, because if you don't win, you're stuck with all these salaries, and then you got to rebuild, and it takes time. So it's, man, you got to be a freaking magician and be on it. Like Stevie Y is great at it. Mm-hmm. And I think Bowman's done a great job in Chicago balancing it. I sure hope Toronto wins soon, because, you know, they've got a shitload of money tied up in players.
Right. But, offense, Russ, mostly offense. I mean, or
well, it's, you know, everybody's got to have the great goalie, and you got to have those solid four defensemen, and you got to have the offense. But you need some, those third and fourth lines are important too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to have good, solid players. Tampa Bay is a good example. Look at them. They look great out there. Great goaltending, defense, forwards. They just look solid throughout their lineup. They're a great example of what you should try to build for today. And they, you know, they got an aging player in Stamkos that they're going to, that's making a lot of money. I don't know how much longer is on his deal, but they're going to have years of paying him. But I, did you see that picture of Harold Ballard and I this week?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Harold had hockey equipment on, didn't he, in that picture?
Yeah, with me. And it was on Instagram, Leafs History.
Yes.
I read some of the comments, like why, you know, there's typical Harold Ballard haters on there. But the guy, whoever has the site, said, maybe Russell, tell us what the story is. So I said I'd talk about it on our show. Mm-hmm. And then right after, Gretz sent me the picture and went, what a great picture. And so the story behind the picture is Mr. Ballard said to me that I was the first player he ever paid that didn't shave. And he and he wanted a picture with me. And so he took a picture in Montreal on the bench. And then this was during our, I think, our team photos. And he goes, come here, kid. I want to get the picture with the kid, the kid I pay, the only player I've ever paid that doesn't shave. So that was why we took that picture.
So
Mr.
good.
Ballard and I. Isn't that funny? I was 18, I believe, at the time.
Sure, yeah. Just getting over 19. Puberty. That's
Just getting over it.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of it. You know, when we didn't make the playoffs the first year, and I was so nervous. You're always nervous when you break in the league.
Sure.
I was so nervous because I couldn't grow a freaking beard.
That's so funny, man.
Like, all these guys are like, yeah, we make the playoffs, we got to grow a beard. So the next year we make, I think it was next year or the year after, we make the playoffs, and frick, I had peach fuzz.
That's so funny. Russ comes in with a big beard that he got at a Halloween
shop. Yeah, exactly. That's what, that would have been funny if I had done that.
You must have been scared, man. 18. God, I forget how young that is, man, to go.
Yeah.
We've got 18 kids. and a crazy freaking owner. You'd be petrified from.
He was awesome to me, though, and he was great to my family. I mean, he every time we came, we went to Vancouver, he bought all my family's hotel rooms, all the tickets. When Wendell Clark and I were on the road, we didn't have ATM cards back then. We just had cash, and we didn't have – I don't think I had a Visa card then yet, and I don't know if Wendell had one either. Right. So when we went on the road, we'd get an envelope of per diem from Gord Stellick.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the trip, we'd be out of money, or at least I would be. And Harold would always tell Gord, you know, make sure the kids have extra cash. So he would always slide us an extra $200.
Nice.
And then never took it off our paychecks. It was you know, stuff like that. You don't forget.
But people don't know, Rust? And they make up.
Yeah. No, there was so many great sides to Harold. Obviously, the media and he did not get along. And so most people read about, you know, him instead of meeting him.
Right.
But he was great. He was great to me.
You know, that's a nice story, Russ, right? Where someone said, and, you know, what's the story behind that picture?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Gretz sends it the comment saying, beautiful picture. Right.
Yeah.
So you will often get people saying, and I love it. I really do. Since we started doing this podcast, I will get emails from people with this memory that they have of Russ Courtney. And a credit to you, Rusty, they're really kind memories. You know, remember we had the guy on, the guy from New York, Russ. Remember we had him on who was like a rabbit fan. Yeah. And in the end, he was really cool. He was great for the show because he went 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
he had an incredible story about how what a fan he was and the lengths he went to. And then in the end, I got to admit, I was almost brought to tears, you know, when the guy said, you know, obviously this was a freak fan who he couldn't get the time of day from a lot of people, how he snuck into the rinks. He was just, And he goes, when I met Russ Courtland, he was the only guy who stopped and talked to me and called me by my name, you know, and just a wonderful story, you know, and we hear a lot of those things. Okay. Until you run into someone, Russ, like I did this past week at the casino. A guy was talking, he looked at me and I said, hello. And he said, are you the guy who does that suspendable show? Oh. I said, I am. I am, man. I was all, you know, I spread my feathers. Yeah. I love the attention. So whenever you hear of someone's personal story, though, okay, that was a good one with Russ, that because that kid was young. But here's how this one goes, and I get it a lot about Rust. It usually revolves around drinking, Rusty.
Jesus.
This guy says to me, and let me, I said, what's your name? He said, it's Vince. Vince, it's kind of a Ukrainian name, D-Z-I-A-D-Y-K, Zach, Ziak or something, Vince Ziak, and Randy Kendall, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tell Russ that I said, well, how's Russ going to know who you are? He goes, well, ask him about the story about the fat little German guy who played golf with him at Sherwood, and he ended up rolling down a hill. I said, I will, but Russ has got a lot of stories about having a good time, you know, but it just sort of typified what all these people, if you get together with Russ, there's going to be a fun time. There's going to be a fun time. So that guy said, you took them golfing.
Yeah.
You took them golfing.
They may have bought a golf trip.
They did.
But they were to play with Wayne Gretzky. If it's the same group. So
from Saskatchewan, these guys are from.
No.
But you're starting off right. They did buy a package.
Yeah. So
this guy looked loaded. So it would make sense.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's just funny that the guy said, yeah, it was a guy who got so drunk and he rolled down the hill at Sherwood. You were going to tell us. You were going to tell a lottery story.
Well, right. I'm sorry, Vince. I don't remember the story, but it might have been involved with, it might have involved Tommy Martin. So do you remember Bussy?
Yes. Well, that's the name he gave.
Okay. So So this is the story. So they all come down. The oil boys come down to Sherwood. Tom Ramsey, a friend of mine, sets it up
from
Alberta. Anyways, there's been so many trips over the years, but I remember this one clearly. I can't remember exactly who was all there, but Tom Bussy Martin. So Tom Martin got traded for a bus. His nickname is Bussy. Played for the Jets, for Hartford. Right. Great guy, good friend. Grew up together. Bussy, we're all sitting around the men's grill, drinking away, just having a great time, and the bathroom is in the back, maybe 40 steps, 30 steps. Instead, he goes outside. And nobody knows why he went outside. We're all sitting around drinking. He comes in and he looks like he's been attacked by a mountain lion. He's got scratches all over his face, his arms. And he said, I went out. And right outside the men's grill at Sherwood, there's rose bushes. There's this brick wall and rose bushes. And then it drops down. So I don't know if he was thinking he was going to get sick or he was taking a leak, but he leaned forward fell into the rose bushes and rolled down the hill. And he came back, he walked out, he came back in and he was bleeding. And everyone's like, Tom Bussy, what the hell happened? So that's what happened. A drunk puke pee story turned into a bloody mess.
I love, you know, speaking of that, one of the great member guests, I got invited there. The G-Man invited me to play there 1 year. And everyone's kind of liquored up at the end of the day. It's a 2 or 3 day member guest. I remember asking, how long is this member guest? He goes, I don't know. Sometimes 2, sometimes 3, you know. We figure it out as each day goes by. And at the end of this, sort of at 8 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night, the pro comes out with about, you know, 20 dozen golf balls, drops them just off that patio, okay?
Yeah.
Onto the grass, you know, and I'm going, what's going on here? Yeah, we all do closest to the pin.
Yeah.
I said, what
20 pin? Bucks a shot.
20 bucks a shot, and you can keep paying 20. It's a great deal. Anyway,
Jim, I'm going to give you a humble brag. So
let's do it.
During the member guest 1 year, I was trying to keep guys there because in LA, a lot of guys would come and then leave. And it's not like some like Discovery member guests where guys really hang out a lot. So I was trying to keep everybody there. So I asked the pro to do that. He said, let's do closest to the flag from the men's grill. And it was, I think, 3 balls for 20 bucks.
Right.
And so humble brag, that was my idea.
No way.
It stuck. To this day, they still do it. Yeah. And you hit from the doorway to the 18th green, and they measure out, write your name down. And it was perfect. Gretz loved it. He goes, man, we just have to walk out the door.
Sure.
Leave our drinks here, hit 3 balls and you could keep going.
Yeah.
It was over the course of, I think, an hour and a half. And then whoever won got the entire pot.
Sure. So what happens if, so you pay 20, you get three balls.
You get three shots. Yeah.
But you can pay another, if you want to keep
paying. Yeah. You can keep going. Yeah. You can just keep going as many times as you want. And the pot, the first year we did it, I think there was like $1,680 in the pot. And the guy who won it gave it to all the staff, which was really nice. Yeah. Walked around giving everybody money. It was great.
It ends immediately if a guy knocks his shot early 2 inches from the hole. Right? Then it's like, okay, this is over. But anyway, great deal.
No, they don't tell anybody.
Yeah, they can't see it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyone get a hole in one yet? No. Nope.
Yeah. That's the other thing. It's a blind shot.
Yeah.
I mean, lottery story. What is it?
So ever since I was a little kid, my dad used to play the lottery. So I grew up, you know, my dad sitting around with his buddies picking numbers. And my dad won with another guy. They won 10 grand when I was a little kid, like 6 or 7, 8 years old. Yep. And so he got $5,000. The other guy got $5,000. And my dad built a brand new kitchen for my mom.
Oh,
so that's my first cool lottery experience. So when the lottery gets going down here in the United States, the Powerball and the Mega, it gets over 100 million every once in a while. And now it's at like 450 and 430 million, something like that, each one.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. So I have these numbers that I've had for years. Yes. And when the lottery gets crazy, I play. So I go to this little corner store here in Westlake and I buy my tickets and that's it. Never won anything, you know, but it kind of reminds me of my dad and be fun to everybody. I mean, who wouldn't want to win the lottery, right? So, you know, I get autographed cards delivered to the house or hockey cards. So every I get home from Victoria, I sign all these cards and I go to and I mail them.
Right.
So I go this one morning last week, I play the lottery.
Yeah.
I go to the grocery store and I'm just having a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. driving around, doing a few things, go to the grocery store. And then I go and drop off the autographed picture at the blue box right outside of CVS in Westlake. So I come home, I see my son Lawton and I'm like, fuck, I can't find my lottery tickets. They're in a little pouch thing. So I'm looking all over the house. I go to my car. The light bulb goes off. I freaking put them in the mail.
You mailed them with the Oh, no.
I go back to the thing. Dude. And it says the guy's going to pick up at 10. Pickup's at noon.
You're on the tracking.
It says right on the box. On the blue box. You know, it's outside.
Oh, I see.
It's right in the mail, mailbox outside. And it says the guy's going to pick up at noon. So I got a couple hours. So I get the number. I call. They go, no, you got to call the local post office. I call the local post office and I said, hey, I put something personal in the mailbox. I'm just going to wait here for the guy. Oh, well, the guy won't be there for a few hours. And I don't want to tell him what it is. So I just said it's something personal.
Yeah.
And then I go, well, there's a sushi place. I'll just wait.
Yeah.
I'm having sushi. I'm waiting in the car. And it's like the guy finally shows up.
Yeah.
And I go to the driver. Hey, I dropped something in there. Oh, are you the guy that dropped something in the mailbox?
Personal thing,
My boss called me and he said, don't worry. Anyways, he opens it up and there's the lottery tickets. And then he realizes why I've been freaking calling and waiting. And anyways, I got my tickets back, but I didn't win.
So. That's so funny.
Could you imagine if they were the winning numbers?
Oh, dude.
And the guy.
Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
What do we do? Do we give it back to the guy or do we cash him in?
Jesus, man.
Yeah. 450 million.
That's a nice story of mailing the wrong thing. You know, I've always talked about the story of when I was in radio walking. You know, every morning I'd finish running for my life, walk out the front doors of the station, and there was a receptionist there, so still is, right? And she was just white, and she mm-hmm. and I'm going, "What's wrong?" She goes, "Well, me and my two sisters are settling the estate. My mother died, my father died a long time ago, and we're back and forth. But I hate one of my sisters.
Uh-oh.
I've never gotten along with her. And I just, you know, typed an email to my other sister, who I do get along with, ripping the sister I don't, calling her a bitch and this and that. And, okay, it was really, really aggressive, you know. I'm going, okay, well, what happened? Yeah, I mistakenly sent it to the sister I was talking about. I'm going like this. We got a winner. We got a winner. Here we go.
I
got
to tell one more story.
Let's hear it.
Now that you said that, sending the wrong thing, I'm looking up something here that Kelly Chase, you know, he's selling real estate for Discovery.
Yep.
So we're sending around some funny stuff that people sent. And this guy, he sends a text to Chaser. And this is about some condos. He goes, thanks for checking in on the bottom unit. I assume the first three units in your text are bottom units and the three bedroom is the one below the second unit we looked at today.
Yeah.
The four bedroom from 2 years ago is located where? Question mark. And Chaser responds to the guy, blow me. And then he goes, and this is a screenshot of his text. He goes, ha ha ha. He goes, below me. Sorry about that.
He voice texted.
I don't know what he did, but ha ha ha, below me. Sorry about that. And then the guy goes, ha ha ha. So it's the bottom unit. And he goes, yeah, nothing else is sold or being for sale.
So funny.
The three bedroom is below. Oh my God. Blow me.
Beautiful.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's so funny.
I had another one.
Speaking of comedians, one of the great lines about Don Cherry, for years it went around, and everyone talked about it, whereas the line was from a comic talking about the great, iconic hockey commentator Don Cherry. He said, I ran into Don Cherry and Blue his dog, which, of course, Don Cherry for years had a dog named Blue. Let's get out of here, Rusty. You get back to doing what you're doing.
Oh, fuck. The golf course is closed.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
For another week.
Oh, no.
I know, but I got the first tee time next Tuesday when they open. So
here's, you know, you're a good cook, Rusty. People want cooking tips. Here's what I did last night because I take a sleep med. Okay. And if I don't fall asleep on it right away, I get crazy hungry. Okay. Oof. Like out of control hungry.
Yeah.
And so I love to snack. Okay. At night. If I fall asleep, I'm good. But when I get a week straight of not falling asleep, I put on freaking 5 pounds because I eat at 2-3 in the morning.
Oh, boy.
So my favorite is cheese and crackers. Okay, Rusty, go now. So I had no cheese. I was ravenous last night. All I had, and don't do this, okay? I made a mistake, and I'm paying for it today. I have gut rot. All I had was a big brick of fresh Parmesan.
Okay. Oh.
Now, Parmesan, folks, in case you don't know, is a little sprinkle on your pasta. Okay. Yeah. Maybe on the salad. Not slabs of it, Russ, and put it on crackers. I woke up this morning. I was so backed up. It was unbelievable. Yeah, I cut them like big slices of cheese, like cheese slices. So
here, I'll give you my miso salmon recipe.
There we go. Okay.
Quarter cup of olive oil.
Yep.
3-4 garlic.
Yep.
Cloves chopped up.
Yep. 3 or 4. Holy God.
Tablespoon of miso paste. Tablespoon of balsamic vinegar. And you make, you whip that with a fork into a paste.
Yeah.
And you get a slab of salmon from Costco. I usually get salmon steelhead. And you smother the paste over the salmon slab.
Yeah.
The filet. Mm-hmm. And then you broil it for like 7 to 8 minutes till it's like not black, but you know, it's getting really dark.
Good God, what a snack.
And then you turn it and you turn the oven to 350 and bake it for another 6 to 8 minutes. And I'm telling you, it's the best salmon I've ever had. Dougal Milne taught me how to make that in Hawaii.
That's a beautiful
quarter cup of olive oil.
Yeah.
Chopped up garlic.
Miso paste. Yep.
Little teaspoon of rock salt. A tablespoon of miso paste and a tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, and you just whip it with your fork and then smother it.
Oh, smother the salmon, bake it or barbecue the salmon or whatever.
So, no, you broil it for 6 to 8 minutes first, turn it from broil to bake to 350 and finish it by baking it.
Okay. All this is recorded, so I don't need to write it down. Okay, here's mine. You think that's good. Here's mine. Get yourself a bowl, okay, folks, all right, and a box of Fruit Loops, okay? Now, here's what you do. Pay attention. Open the box, dump some Fruit Loops into a bowl, okay, and then eat it.
No milk. I thought you were going to say go to get in your car and drive through a Tim Hortons drive-thru.
Well, I do that, too. Anyway. Good God, we can't end the show. We got to, it's all done. This is great, Rusty. Right. You get back to cooking your salmon and sitting on your patio. And Steve and I are going to put our storm doors on, windows on. Okay. Like in the old days, you have to put up storm.
Honey, turn the air conditioning up.
Hey, Russ, fuck off. Talk to you later, everybody. Have a good week, Rusty.
See you, pal.
Take it easy.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.